Talking to today with 3rd District Congressman and, of course, ranking member of the House Agriculture Committee, Congressman Frank Lucas. Congressman, a lot of things happening just in the last few days, most notably a subcommittee of your House Ag Committee held a hearing just a few days ago, got a lot of conversation with USDA officials about the marketing plans proposed by GPSA. They've now extended the comments for a few more days, but this seems that they've really have maybe stretched way beyond what the instructions were from the 2008 farm law.
Oh, you're exactly right, Ron. That was a very bipartisan scolding that the subcommittee gave the department officials over GPSA, and this is a rule that will impact many, many, if not virtually every element of the livestock industry, the marketing industry. What it appears to be is that the department, after not being able to persuade the last three Congresses to write into farm bill language what they wanted, and after losing perhaps as many as 8 court cases where they tried to get the courts to give them the authority to do what they want to, they have decided by rulemaking to pursue this. And the committee, in a bipartisan way, dressed down the administration on this topic. They responded by extending the amount of time for public input, which will push the rulemaking process back after Election Day. I just hope they'll listen to the public, and I hope they will remember that if the elected Congress won't do it and if the courts won't do it, then maybe the department shouldn't be doing it.
Congressman, in talking to folks from your district, it seems that something like the Seaboard plant in Guymon could be tremendously impacted.
Oh, very true. The way the rules put together, limiting the ability of packers to sell products to each other, to do things that reflect market conditions in a temporary fashion, just a variety of things under here. This is an idealistic rule where they want to change the way the livestock industry conducts itself in this country, the way the meat industry conducts itself. They just have gone above and beyond what the 08 Farm Bill spelled out, what Congress has supported, and now we've got to rein them back in. And that's why it's important that not only we write farm bills every 5 years, but that we make sure USDA here in Washington, D.C., implements those policies the way they're intended to be. And the GPSA rule they proposed goes way beyond anything envisioned by Congress.
If they should persist and try to push on with this, is the only remedy at that point to do something as far as, some sort of legislative action to counter them?
Well, you've got two avenues of approach. If the administration is bound and determined to do this with disregard to Congress, then there's a mechanism by which you can reject the rule. That requires approval in both the House and the Senate and would require a signature by the president. I seriously doubt that the White House, if they've encouraged this rule that's being put together, would agree to sign a bill that would overturn it. But the second process then we have access to, and this comes in January, is the purse. Whatever kind of a rule that's created by USDA, they've got to have money to hire the extra bureaucrats. They've got to have money for the office space, buy the computers to generate the expense accounts. They've got to have resources to implement the rules. There's nothing that I see in the Constitution that says Congress has to automatically fund every request of the president. So I believe in the worst-case scenario, we'd use the funding mechanism to slow this process down until we legislatively could fix it or until we have a new administration in a couple of years.
Kind of chasing one rabbit, give me an update of where we really are on the appropriations process this year. I know that it seems like, in effect, the Democrats have just kind of declared victory and gone home on that one.
Well, first stage was, of course, creating the budget, the spending plan for the coming appropriations process. Basically, Speaker Pelosi did something that's not occurred since 1974, and that is she didn't allow a budget bill to be marked up in the budget committee or considered on the floor of the United States House. That's not happened in the House. We've not failed to do a budget since this present budget law went on the books in 74. So, therefore, she used another piece of legislation, in effect, to deem how much money should be available and to deem how it should be allocated out among the various subcommittees. Now, having ignored the budget process where members of Congress could have offered amendments, could have reprioritized, potentially reduced spending, redirected spending, I think not so much to protect her own members, but simply because she didn't want us as a body to decide how to spend taxpayers' monies. That's why she did this. We're now in the final week of the July session here in the House. We'll go home for August work period. They're not going to bring us back until mid-September. we'll probably be in session 2 weeks in September. I would suspect we'll pass the Department of Defense appropriation, we'll pass Homeland Security appropriation. The other 10, including the money for agriculture, will not be passed before Election Day. They'll fund the rest of federal government in something called a temporary funding bill, a continuing resolution, a CR. We'll come back in lame duck session, Ron, 10 days after the election, I suspect. They'll take the remaining 10 bills, ag included, roll it all up into a big omnibus appropriation, tie on everything else they can possibly imagine tying onto it, and try and slam one giant spending authorizing bill through at the very end of this Congress after the elections are over within a lame duck session. And that's very concerning to me.
Speaking of lame ducks, we are hearing the strategy that the Democrats are at least contemplating regarding cap and trade. And it seems like at this point, it really lies maybe in the fate, as far as the fate of cap and trade on the Senate once again.
Well, there are so many things that will be decided in the lame duck session. The Senate, I have a difficult time believing, can pass anything that the House would pass. We get into lame duck session, an appropriation bill, a big omnibus appropriation bill, passes under a different set of rules than typical legislation. If they can work out some kind of a cap and tax agreement among themselves, attach that to the appropriation bills in December, and slam it through, that's how they'll get it done, if they can get it done. And it's not just cap and tax, it's potentially immigration, it's the tax code issues, or just a whole bunch of things. Don't be surprised in December, as Speaker Pelosi's going out as Speaker, if we don't have a single vote to pass all of these items in one giant bill. Very frightening.
At this point, that would obviously, you mentioned the tax code, that could include something on the death tax, right?
Yes. They have to do something about the tax code before the end of the year. The more liberal members here, and I disagree with them vehemently, the more liberal members believe that the death tax is a good social tool. That's how they can rearrange the deck chairs in our society in every lifetime. But the tax code also has some other provisions that expire at the end of December, not just the death tax coming back into place. The capital gains rate goes from 15% back up to the old number in 2001. The income tax rates will go back up. There's a variety of taxes that will kick back in, creating a huge tax increase, a revenue stream for the federal government. They've got to do something. For instance, they cannot let capital gains go back to 20, or as some on Ways and Means talk about, 39% from the present 15% level, without creating a huge sell-off on the stock market, a huge sell-off of all real hard assets. So they've got to fix the tax code to prevent a meltdown in the stock market. I would predict when they do cap gains and income taxes, the death tax will be pulled in. I just don't know yet how much they'll exempt per family. I don't know what the top rate will be yet, but they've got to do something.
Congressman, I know that obviously you've always had a tremendous amount of interest in conservation. We, on a positive note, it does look like the administration moving forward with a general sign up for CRP, first one in 4 years. As you've looked at this, the plans that they've announced, are you pleased with it?
I'm just happy that we're having a sign up, and let me put it that way. While all the fine details, I'm still going over the fact that they're having a sign up. The CRP program has been more successful since 1985 than anyone would have thought possible at that time, not only from protecting water quality and air quality issues, preserving soil in place, what it's done for wildlife. It's just been amazingly successful. Now, that said, I would hope that when we write the next farm bill, we'll provide more flexibility so that the better land in the program, when market prices dictate it, will be able to come out quicker. That's one of my frustrations with the past administrations, was not wanting to show enough flexibility in that regard. But by and large, it's good that we have another sign-up. We'll see what kind of participation we have from producers now at these commodity price levels.
One last question, Congressman. That is has to do with the kind of the lay of the land right now in D.C. Obviously, there's a lot of indications from polling data and whatnot that Republicans are going to make some substantial gains in this midterm election coming up in November. As you kind of alluded to, maybe Ms. Pelosi leaving the leadership position that she's got right now. How is this going to impact the rest of this year, including that lame duck time? If indeed the power change comes in, is that enough fear of God to maybe make the Democrats slow down?
You actually put your thumb on my great hope. We'll have just a couple more days in July. We'll go home. The Senate will be here another week. We'll come back in September. I don't see how they can keep us here more than 2 weeks because the Democratic majority will be frantic to be home campaigning. We'll come back 10 days after the election. If indeed, at that point, Ron, the freshman class incoming in January of 2011 is really 100 members in the House, 100 brand-new faces, almost one-fourth of the body. If the freshman class in the United States Senate is 10, maybe as high as 12 new senators, that's a dramatic change in the membership that the voters have demanded back home. They have to, the present leadership in lame duck, they have to stop and realize that the reason that change has come is in response to the way they have managed the legislative agenda in Congress. I hope that that would break the Speaker's momentum. I hope that would back the White House off and let us do what needs to be done, which is finish funding the rest of the federal government for the year and go home and come January with a new body where the pendulum has swung dramatically closer to the middle again. Then we'll address these issues and we'll start fresh and trying to craft the groundwork for a farm bill in 2012.
Is at this point on that farm bill, do you see trying to work on that fairly early in 2011?
There's growing discussion that whoever is in control in this body in January, February, the focus will shift away from growing government, increasing the national debt, to trying to reduce the growth of the national debt, and to begin to shrink the federal budget. If that's the case, then whether it's Speaker Boehner or Speaker Hoyer, there will be a bill that we refer to up here as budget reconciliation that will look at all present spending on the books and determine where we go from there. I would tell you that if there is a budget reconciliation bill, no matter who the speaker is, the money situation for every area of the federal government that is determined in that bill will literally set the tone for what we'll have to spend in the farm bill, whether we write it late in 11 or in the summer of 12, which would be the regular schedule time.